a siege military operation to surround and to block off a city or fortress to force surrender. The goal is to isolate the defenders by cutting off supplies and access.
The strategy of a siege, the blockade, prevents supplies from coming in and out, bombardment, attrition, wearing down the defenders, then assault. Once you've got them worn down and feeling hopeless and defeated and in a vulnerable place, this is the time that they will plan the attack and take the city. I kept hearing the word siege as I've been praying. I felt like the Lord was giving me this picture of a city surrounded. It was clear to me that the Lord was telling me, this is what the enemy is doing to his people. He is setting up a siege. Hey guys, welcome to an episode of A Building.
Sounds very Motown.
I'm trying to go for that Toni Braxton vibe, you know.
I think you got that.
Don't lie to me.
You got that down pat.
He's gonna let me look like a fool out on the street.
You more like Tamar, but that's all right.
I'll take Tamar. I will take any Braxton.
For all you dudes wondering how I know who Tamar Braxton is, it's just my wife. She'd be listening to all that.
They used to.
Back in the day.
I mean, every once in a while, you have to like go and hit up those 90s.
Just throw
tracks.
On some baby face.
Oh my God. What was that song he used to sing? What was that popular song he sang with Madonna?
Come on. Is it The Show Is Over? Say
goodbye? Yes. Yeah. The show is over. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I wish we sounded like Babyface. I'm not going to do that to you guys, though. All right, guys. Listen, if you guys are new here, just hit that like, throw a comment, just say, hey, girl, how you doing? We are new here. And hit subscribe because why not? I might as well be your, you know.
We out here doing work.
We doing the work. And I am hitting up that, you know, millennial because that size wipe is not in anymore. But I'm bringing it back because.
Let me ask you a question. How often do you subscribe to people on YouTube? Do you do that often?
Sometimes. You know, usually if I see more than, if I'm on their second episode, I'll subscribe because that means I like their content. Yeah. So if this is your second time here, hit it. If it's your first time here, live life on the wild side and subscribe anyways, because why not? But anyways, that'll help a sister out because, you know, it's hard out in these streets. We just, we out here hustling with 10 kids. Like, I need to buy eggs. Did you guys see, have you seen how much eggs are?
I bought 5 dozen eggs because, I mean, obviously, we have such a small family.
Somebody came into our coop and massacred our chickens. I'm not even kidding you. It was the devil himself.
$28.
Dressed up like a raccoon.
$28 for 5 dozen eggs. $28.
Yeah, we looked in the coop and one of the chickens had holes in it. It looked like a mafia movie out there.
It did. Goodfellas.
It looked like Goodfellas.
Henry Hill and the Boys.
It looked like somebody got it in the trunk. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
that's anyways. The kind of thing like you wake up when the mafia is after you wake up and a chicken looks like that, like in your bed next to you.
Yeah.
And then you just know. Man, it's coming.
And I better pack
my bags. Better start quoting the Bible.
It's time to start ratting people out. It's time to call the FBI and be that snitch. Hey, what deal do you got for me?
Yep, snitches get riches in this house.
I don't even know how we got that far. We got way too far down the game.
We'll do movie reviews with Amina and Drew later.
We started talking chickens, and all of a sudden it got to Goodfellas. Because that's where we're at.
We did.
Anyways, let me just take a sip because I'm still battling a cough. It's been since December.
She's been hacking. It sounds like, I mean, my goodness. In the middle of the night, I just wake up.
I'm like,
you gonna be all right over there?
I'm fighting for my life in the sheets.
She honestly is, though.
I'm trying to keep it down, too, because our baby still sleeps in our room. So I'm like, under the blanket.
We got to get that vapor, right?
Is anybody else out there hacking? But there's no other symptoms. Oops. There's no other symptoms. You're not like, you know, chills or fever. It's just this lingering cough that just won't
It's
go
going
away.
On. Like, it's go. It, you hear, you know, it's so cliche to see something's going around, but it's just honestly, everybody's sick that I know.
All that genetically modified sickness yeah. going on out there. In Jesus' name, go away.
Anyway, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So, you know, I talked last time about the movie Speak No Evil, and he knows how that movie affected me because I came home and I was like,
I was trying to watch like a hockey game or something.
Right. I was like, turn that off. We have to have a conversation.
And I know that look on my wife's face. You all know that look on your prophetic wife's face when she comes home and she has something to say. And so it was one of those.
I don't know about prophetic, but
it was one of those kind of pull up your chair, get some popcorn.
It's like, there's some things running through my mind right now. And, you know, so anyways, I'm going to kind of piggyback a little bit off of that, because with people that come into your path and that try to test the waters, test your boundaries, push you to the point of breaking, we have to see who's behind those people. Mm-hmm. And that led me to what we're going to talk about today, which is the siege on your mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I want to talk a little bit about even, let's just talk about what a siege is, if you want to hit that up. I went ahead, y'all, we take notes in these ports, so...
He's going to give
us the definition of what a siege is.
What is a siege, though? A siege is a military operation to surround and to block off a city or a fortress to force surrender. The goal is to isolate the defenders by cutting off supplies and access. And what you see is when these back in the day, even now sometimes economically, but back in the day, they would surround a city with the idea of cutting off trade routes to that city. So you're not getting food, you're not getting supplies, you're not getting men that have been out that are coming back. You're suffocating that city to the point where
they're starving
and they got to negotiate and they got to get out. Mm-hmm. And so you see, and whether you could have a fortress, mm-hmm. but if you're surrounded by an army, there's nothing coming in or out of your fortress. And so the enemy likes to do that to us. And I think that's what we want to talk about a little bit.
Yes. So he, you know, he laid out what a siege is. And with the siege, there's different strategies. So for the strategy of a siege is the blockade surrounding the city, like he said, to prevent supplies from coming in and out, people entering or exiting the city. The other one is bombardment, bombarding using cannons and other weapons to attack the city. The other strategy is also attrition, and that is wearing down the defenders over time by denying them supplies. And then assault. Once you've got them worn down and feeling hopeless and defeated and everything is, they're just in a really vulnerable place. This is the time that they will plan the attack and take the city. And I kept hearing the word siege in my mind, you know, as I've been praying, and I felt like the Lord was kind of giving me this picture of a city surrounded by an army. And, you know, as I was meditating on that, it was clear to me that the Lord was telling me, this is what the enemy is doing to his people. The enemy is setting up a siege in our minds, in your mind. And these are the strategies that I just read. And so we're going to kind of break it down a little bit. So one, cutting supplies, like you were sharing, the enemy wants to cut. These are the supply lines that he wants to cut from our lives. He wants to cut the conviction from our life. if he can get us to harden our hearts and to stop listening and submitting to the will of the Spirit and cut that conviction from our lives and harden our hearts, numb our hearts, then we are not experiencing God anymore.
Right.
We're not fulfilling our purpose. We are feeling a sense of loss, anxiety, fear, all the feelings that come with a life of sin.
Right.
Because we've cut the supply line of conviction. Also, cutting conviction cuts out the voice of God. He wants to cut the word. That's another thing. Cutting out the word, cutting out the truth from our hearts. So we will not receive what God is trying to tell us.
Right.
You know, the scripture tells us it's truth that sets us free. The verse, I believe it's in Hosea, that says, my people perish from lack of knowledge. So as long as we are in a state of ignorance because we don't know the truth, we will perish. And this is a strategy that the enemy utilizes, is to try to cut the supply line of truth from our life so that we cannot feed off of God. We cannot abide in him.
I think the enemy wants us bargaining with him. Mm-hmm. He wants us bargaining with him. Because when you get cut off like that, I need this. And he's like, okay, well, you're going to give me something. Mm-hmm. You want that? You got to give me something. Mm-hmm. And so this negotiation, this bargaining takes place.
And even mistaking God's voice for his voice.
Right.
Because we haven't been in the word, and because we've cut the supply line of not delving into the word, maybe, you know, you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe you feel confused when you read the Bible. Maybe you just don't feel like reading the Bible. You know, whatever it is that the enemy uses to try to keep us from reading the word, we won't know that truth. And so a lot of times we hear the enemy's voice and we'll mistake that for God's voice, the voice of condemnation, the voice of shame, the voice of guilt. If we're more focused and harking our ear to the enemy's voice, then we won't know truth. And so conviction and truth are two supply lines that the enemy will try to cut off
from us. I know for me, one of the big ones that I can't really recognize it right away, but I eventually usually point it out to me after a while, but the enemy will get me with anxiety, stress. He gets me in this area where I'm like thinking about so many other things that it cuts off that lifeline to God.
Yeah.
And you'll come to me and you'll kind of usually can check me on that. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm surrounded by stress. I'm surrounded by anxiety.
Keeping us busy.
Keeping me busy.
Keeping us busy with worrying and fear.
And it's easy just to get busy as a businessman or, you know, as a father or as a husband. You got to delegate that time. But I mean, really, we have to stay locked in to the word. We got to stay locked in to the Lord.
Right.
Because that's what keeps us strong. It keeps us fortified.
It's our manna.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing that I felt was prayer. If he can keep us from praying and hearing God's voice, we will be a people of no purpose or direction. John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, he is the vine and we are the branches. Without connection, there is no life. If we are not connected to God, we are just a dead branch.
This life is gone. In the vine.
Yeah. So no fruit, no production. We are just, you know, like leaves in the wind, double-minded is what we become. We become double-minded people because we are not rooted in the word. We're not rooting ourselves in prayer. And look, this isn't something we have arrived to. This is a struggle oftentimes, especially when you're a busy mom and a busy dad who's working and doing stuff all the time. And oftentimes we can surround ourselves with godly things like playing worship music in the background. And I mean, that's great. But when it comes to actually engaging, we can play the stuff around us. But it's different when you actually engage.
Continue reading in John 15. You have the life's in the vine. You know, it's the whole those who, you know, Those who I love, I prune. But then there's this other group of trees that don't bear fruit. They've been cut off. Mm-hmm. And what does God say ends, happens with those? Jesus says they get gathered up and burned. Mm-hmm. He's not saying I burn you.
Yeah.
But he's saying, because you're cut off from me, mm-hmm. you're going to get burned.
Right.
Your fortress is getting burned.
Right.
You know? But I love for the fruitful branches, what happens to them? He says, my Father comes and prunes them.
Yeah.
You know when you're fruitful, you're going to get pruned. I love that part.
Yeah. It's so that we can produce more. This is something I'm going to be learning a lot this season because we plan to do our garden.
We're doing the garden.
Yes. Yeah. So we will only perpetuate a cycle of brokenness. We are a fallen race. So if we depend on our own knowledge,
by race, you mean human race.
Right, human race.
Right, don't get it twisted.
Right. Like that.
We are different.
But if we'll end up staying in a vicious cycle, the frustration that comes with wanting to break a cycle, like, oh my gosh, I keep doing the same thing over and over again, or we just can't seem to get out of this season, or, you know, we have the same arguments all the time. But do nothing to jump out of the proverbial hamster in the wheel. You know, it's going to take intentionality.
Right.
Because a lot of this stuff that, you know, like reading the Bible and praying, if this isn't something that's become a common practice or a habit for us, then we tend to rely on our default mode where it's like we just go through the motions. We depend on our own strength. We haven't cultivated a relationship with the Lord. When we're going through times of stress and anxiety, we tend to meditate on, what am I going to do to fix this? How can I get around this? Right. Or what am I going to do? And our default isn't set to, Father, calm the wind and the waves in my heart.
Right.
What do you have to say about this situation? You know, our car is broken down. We don't have money in the account. Father, you said you're our provider. And instead, if we are reliant on our own strength, it becomes a thing of, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Not gleaning from the Lord's wisdom and from his well and from his resources that he longs to bless us with.
And that leads to sin. That's what really leads you to sin. Like, we always read about David and Bathsheba. That didn't just happen. It doesn't say, but something led up to that. Mm-hmm. There was a gradual cutting off of that supply line that leads to things like that. And it starts, like you just said, you have this issue. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a marriage issue. Maybe it's just yourself, but you're not dealing with it. You're not pushing through. You stay on that hamster wheel and just keep running. And the next thing you know, you're falling into traps.
Yeah.
Falling into sin.
Yeah. Yeah, because we haven't guarded our heart.
Right.
And when you don't guard your heart, because from it flows life, this is where, you know, the siege comes in. And we haven't guarded and stewarded the resources that we have. And staying connected to the Lord, this is where we fall prey to the strategies of the enemy.
Yeah.
One being victim mentality. if he can get you to see that everyone is the enemy, then he will have cut your supply of accountability and fellowship. In scripture, it tells us, confess your sins one to another so that you will be healed. You know, there's power in accountability. Sometimes, how many times do we have crazy thoughts and we share them and we say them out loud and we're like, that was really dumb. I don't even know what I was thinking or why I was thinking it. Or even how many times, even in our own marriage, have experienced us fighting.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean.
And you're like, wait, what were we fighting?
Why are we even, you just wake up mad at each other.
Want scrap.
Or you just like, it could just be something stupid. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't like you. And so this is another strategy of the enemy. It's like, he never listens to me. And I'm not saying that there isn't legitimate reasons to being upset, but you know, when you're just kind of grappling for anything to be upset about, that's the enemy's strategy, to isolate, to divide, so that he can conquer.
And keep your attention on all those things that are negative and wrong in your life rather than the things that get you.
Right.
You know, it's like everything against what Jesus taught. You know, yeah. Jesus was always thinking, you know, what be great, you know.
Right.
Listen, think about the things that, you know, we've given, that I've given you, that my right. Father has given you.
Well, there's stuff. That verse that says, come into his presence with thanksgiving right. and into his courts with praise. That is how we invite the Lord's presence, thanksgiving and praise. So if we are complaining and arguing and grumbling, then whose presence are we inviting into right. our life? And so if our focus is in God, you are good, you are faithful, you are true, you have never failed me, you have always been consistent in my life, you have always proven yourself. If we're not exalting him, then we are exalting ourselves and exalting our problems, exalting the enemy. Yeah. And I mean, obviously we're not saying like, oh, you know, devil this, but you know, in right. complaining and arguing and grumbling and giving into that, which, you know, we have fallen prey to many times. And it's not that we've arrived to this place of utopia, but we are definitely becoming more aware of the enemy's strategies. I mean, we just came to that bridge, I mean, a few days ago, where we're just like, what? I mean, look, we have been feeling honoring the Sabbath has been something very important for our
family. It's been an event on my phone for like...
Oh, same.
A few years. Like, same. I see every
this
Thursday.
This is how faithful we are. Years.
I see it and I go,
yes. I'm like, okay, I know. But we're like, you know what? We're going to honor the Sabbath. We are going to.
We're
going to
receive that
we're
time.
We're going
really.
To we're receive gonna, yeah. it. Yeah. And it became a day of fighting. It was like.
Grumbling.
And it was like we were just kind of taking turns. Look. There's something going on here. The enemy's trying to just disrupt and disturb. And the whole thing of us going into the Sabbath was to spend time with God, spend time with family. And it was like there was always something to try to divide and conquer. And when we share this, we are really sharing from a place of we're still on the journey.
Yeah.
These are things that God is revealing to us. These are things that we are aiming and striving to walk in and to receive. So
one thing I do know
yeah.
is the enemy has an agenda. I'm an expert on knowing that.
Yeah.
If you're a believer and you are trying to walk out your Christian life, mm-hmm. the enemy has an agenda for your life.
Yeah.
And it is isolate you. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we're talking about. Isolate you, cut you off from other friends, from your family, cause division, and get you thinking about everything else. You know, I just picture like this fortress in the middle of a desert. Let's just picture this like town, this fortress in the middle of the desert. And everything's great. You have everything you need. And your back is to the walls. You know what I mean? You're thinking about, you're looking inward. And you're not thinking about outside.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, you turn around and you're surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
The walls have closed in around you. And you're like, dang it, I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what I feel like the enemy tries to do. He tries to get you so busy with your back to the wall, you know, where you're not the watchman on the wall anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're looking inward. You're looking, hey, I'm the victim. It's all about me.
Right.
And that's when he surrounds you and he's able to lay hold of you
mm-hmm.
and see, you know, it's when he's able to seize.
Yeah. And then the next, you know, the next strategy is bombardment, bombarding us with shame, guilt, lies of who we are, what we have done, what we are capable of doing, and how God feels towards us because of it.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, these feelings come during vulnerable moments, you know, when we are stressed, when we're working so much, when we're tired, when we've been up all night with the baby, when we wake up first thing in the morning and we're not conscious and aware of what we're thinking. We're just, you know, all of a sudden a thought pops in our mind and we're just kind of walking into it.
Right.
It can even take the form of being upset and not knowing why. Perhaps to isolate you so that you feel alone. And so it reminds me of the verse, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. That's in 2 Corinthians 10:4. So we have these weapons to remind ourselves that we are not warring with our flesh. We're not warring with our kids. We're not warring with our husbands. We're not even warring against ourselves. We are flesh. And the enemy wants us to even war with ourselves and engage in self-hatred. And so the enemy will try to get us more focused on warring against the flesh. And he's the one behind it. So recognizing that for what it is, because that's what the scripture says, and just backing up and surrendering that moment to the Lord, because that is always a trouble spot for me. I'm a fix it person. I'm like, I just want to fix this relationship. I want to fix it. Let's just hash it out. Let's get it over with. Let's, you know, reconcile and be fine. And sometimes, and this is what the Lord keeps putting in my heart during those moments. It's, it is not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. And I'm learning to keep my mouth shut. I have 4 teenage kids at once. We
At 1.4 high schoolers also.
You know, in our house, especially when they're all on the same page. And, you know, I've had such good conversations with the girls. The best conversations I have, we may not agree, but to just step back and try to just listen, and even being prayerful and saying, God, how do I respond to this? Mm-hmm. And maybe the response is just listening. Maybe the response is just praying over them. And maybe there are a lot of the ideas that they're thinking or may not be biblical or may not be right. But we shouldn't be trying to win an argument. Right. We should be trying to win their heart and keep love and peace at the center. And yes, obviously we want to combat those lies, but we don't want to do it in a mighty powerful way, but by his spirit.
Yeah.
And doing it by the leading of his spirit. And I'm really trying to learn this. I'm learning this like while I'm being thrown in the water and the waves are crashing. But anyways, I know you were wanting to read something.
Yeah. A lot of the times, like you said, this is self-inflicted.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just an assault of the enemy. We're like giving into these thoughts. I feel like there's two great examples of this that I'd like to really focus on. Zechariah 3, mm-hmm. Where you have Joshua, the high priest. I'll just read it real quick. Zechariah 3, I'm just going to go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
It says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And so you have this like courtroom scene in heaven, mm-hmm. where God's standing there. You have Joshua, the high priest, and you have Satan, dragon. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Love that line. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And so here's this picture of filthy garments, meaning he's living in sin. I believe at this point they had returned to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But after starting, they had just fallen into complacency, and they had actually stopped the construction process. I believe, again, I'm not exactly mm-hmm. sure. I believe for 16 years at this point, they stopped. They just stopped the work. There was an attack from the enemy. He attacked, you know, the priesthood. He attacked the finances. Things weren't going well, and they stopped.
Discouragement.
Yeah, and so here, in this scene, the Lord, through his grace.
This is what's happening in the spirit realm, what you're reading. Is this what's happening in
the spirit and the physical? They're building the walls of Jerusalem.
I mean, this scene, this courtroom scene.
Yes, yes. I picture it just happening like in the spirit, like in heaven. Like mm-hmm. there's a courtroom. Mm-hmm. And it says he's standing there in filthy clothes, which means he's living in sin. Mm-hmm. You know, he's actually living in compromise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's living in compromise. Mm-hmm. And it says, then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments from him. And to him, he said, See, I have removed your iniquity, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And you see this, like, you know, basically the prosecution, Satan, is sitting here going, he's wearing dirty clothes. Like, he's living in compromise. He's not doing his job as the high priest, you know, because at this point you had a king and a priest.
Yeah.
And he's not doing his job as, and he's guilty. And you have this finger just pointing at him. And I just love how, like, I just picture Jesus, like, standing in the way. Mm-hmm. Like, no. Let's get him some new clothes. And there's, like, this beautiful picture of redemption.
It reminds me of a parent who sees their kid getting picked on. And the jealousy that you have in your heart for your child when somebody is calling your kids names and bullying them and just trying to just ravage their little hearts, and that I don't want to call it animal instinct, but that instinct in a parent, that just that jealousy,
the mama bear, yeah,
and you're just like, hey, don't you say that to my kid. And then once you get your kid and you're just like, listen, you are beautiful, you are smart, you are, this is not, don't listen to what they say about you, because I, you know, that's the feeling I get of the Lord's heart is a jealous father, for him to say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? This is the message of salvation that he's rubbing in the enemy's face. Like,
right.
This is one that I've saved. This one.
What is a brand plucked from the fire? I mean, you got to think.
Fires all too well. I do.
She does. And she is not lying. But you got this pile of wood, you know, you got the bonfire, and you come out there like the next morning after the bonfire has been burning all night, and you just have this like smoky ash, and there's like just, you know, like the ember, like just a little piece of wood that you got to blow on to get it going. That's what the Lord's saying. Is this not a brand I plucked from the fire? That's what Joshua is.
It sounds like.
Yes, it's ash. And he's like, now watch what I do with this.
Right.
You know, because he is the God of restoration. He's the God of death, then life. He's the God of burnt to a crisp. Now I'm going to make it flourish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we see why, you know, as you were saying, that Joshua is not worthy of the calling of the priesthood. You know, Satan sitting there bringing all the legitimate accusations.
And what does God do? What does God do? Or chapter 3, verse 5. What does God do? I love this. I love that this made it. This made it in the story. It says, and I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. Mm-hmm. You know he's talking. Let's get this guy's mind right. Mm-hmm. Let's get this guy's mind right so he knows. Yeah. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about his mind, mentally, where he's at.
Yeah.
I just love that. We're changed by the renewing of our minds,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was going on there. Mm-hmm. You can't really pivot until there's a renewing of the mind.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because that's where it starts. That's, you know?
And heart and the mind.
Yeah. And so I love that the Lord is our advocate. You know, the Lord speaks of salvation made possible through him. And you want to know how God feels for you. And here he is in the scripture. We see him as an advocate.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we hear the voice in our head. Look at what you did. Look at your garments are dirty. Look at what you're called to. Look at what you're not doing.
Same story as Adam and Eve.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm assuming since there was such a long period of complacency and compromise that the enemy would, you know, that siege, that bombardment of lies and accusation that was coming against Joshua, that this is what they were listening to. This is what was meditating, and this is what was bringing discouragement. We all have energy. We all operate in like frequencies and energy.
Right. Yeah.
And when you are feeling bad energy in your mind, you're worthless, you're stupid, you're not, you literally feel like you have nothing, you just feel like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. You know, it literally sucks the life out of you. There's truth to that saying. Yeah. It sucks the life out of you.
We have got to believe that the truth about what the Lord says about us.
Right. And it's not based on your qualifications, but that he... Yeah,
most certainly not.
Right. But that he is good.
Yes.
That he stands ready as an advocate, ready to cleanse and put new garments on us and ready to appoint us, ready to recommission and say, all right, it's time. You know, it's...
Asked me the other day, you said, why... You were asking that. She was just walking around her house asking everybody, why was David...
Stop.
The man after God's own heart. Is that... That's not in the notes, folks. Are you serious?
Were you seriously about to ask that as my next question.
That's hilarious. Okay. She was running around her house asking everybody.
The spirit's flowing. All right, guys.
Why was David a man after his own heart? Why? Because of his willingness to be clothed, his willingness to be covered, his willingness to repent. Mm-hmm. It was nothing he did.
No.
The posture of his heart where he was willing to say, all right, God, I messed up, you know.
And, you know, this was something that I was really thinking about from my last episode, Speak No Evil, which you guys got to catch. But, you know, because I've been asking the kids, why did God call David a man after his own heart? And I'm just asking everybody, they're like, I don't know, Mom. I'm like, no, I want you to think about it. Like,
he killed Goliath, our like 4-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The kids were all getting into it. They had really good answers. And so as I was like really thinking about it, I was thinking about Saul. And I was thinking about he was a man after the people's heart because he was a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And God dethroned him because of his disobedience, because of his desire to people please. And so because of that, it made me realize that God called David a man after his own heart because David didn't care about what anybody thought about him. He only cared about what God thought about him.
Yeah.
His only, and he says it, I believe in Psalms, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing, and I'm going to butcher it. One thing I seek, one thing I ask. What right is here. It?
Psalm 27:4.
No.
There you go. I got Psalm 20. I was going right to Psalm 27 next. There you have it. You already had it underlined. When your wife is looking for the verse and you already have it pulled open, that means the Spirit is moving.
Oh my God.
There you have it.
And so, that's just crazy. Okay, so Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This right here is why David was known after a man after God's own heart. Because the one thing was that he wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord, was that he just wanted to know the Lord, was that he wanted to have a relationship with the Lord, was that the only thing he cared about was pleasing the Lord, not man. As we know, because he danced, you know, when the ark was brought back, and he danced so much that his clothes were falling off of him, and it offended his wife. But here we see that this was in his heart, was God, was the sole desire in his heart. And yes, he had shortcomings and failings, as we all do. But he always regrouped, refocused, re-strategized, readjusted. There was always the going on in his life.
When we hear about sieges and how the enemy rages and sieges against God's people, and surrounds them, the Psalm 27 paradigm is what we have to cling to. Mm-hmm. This is our best defense, because obviously there's only one story that meets all of this, and that is his sin with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And I love Psalm 27:4, what you just read. That is great. But I really love verse 7 and 8. But this is what David does in the time of trouble. This is what David does when he is back to the enemy. He wasn't paying attention. He got caught up when he looks up in the air and there's 1,000 arrows from the enemy coming in on his camp. This is what he says. It says, "Hear, O Lord." This is Psalm 27, 7 and 8. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Mm-hmm. Hear me. You hear that so much throughout the Psalms. "Hear me, O God, when I cry out to you." Mm-hmm. "Hear me, O God, when I cry out to you." Cry out to you with what? Repentance. Yeah. Cry out to you for help. You know, it's "for in the time of trouble," verse 5, "for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock." I just love that. Mm-hmm. This is literally, you know, one of the worst things David did in his life. And it took, you know, Nathan the prophet coming and talking to him about it. Mm-hmm. It took like all this like action that the Lord invested in, because mm-hmm. he knew he was getting this. He knew he was getting verse 7 and 8 eventually. He's like, "David, I know you. I know, David, you're a man after my own heart."
Yeah.
And, you know, God invested the same thing in you, and God invested the same thing in me mm-hmm. when he sent Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he knows, if you get into that area, if you get into that spot where you're just under attack, seek my face.
Yeah.
And he's looking for it. "Your face I will seek."
Yeah. His one desire was pleasing the Lord. We talk of wanting labels and, you know, stripped off and busting out of boxes. But unless you are partnered with the Lord and your roots are in his word and prayer, you will be a Saul bound to the people's hearts, a man after the people's hearts. But God is raising a remnant of those that are after his heart, like David, seeking his face, inquiring of him for their identity. Yeah.
The Lord's really moving here.
Yes. This is an invitation more so, not like a boss / employee, but like a sonship, a daughter, a father-child relationship that the Lord is inviting us into. So if you're constantly exhausted, confused, feeling like a failure, you're never good enough, always messing up, never hitting the mark, irritable, easily frustrated, easily angered, depressed, filled with anxiety and fear. I'm sounding like an infomercial.
Sounds like you're reading my fortune cookie sometimes. That's like, fear,
you know, being afraid of losing control. These are some signs that there is a siege on your mind.
Mm.
Your mind is surrounded and the supply lines of truth and God's voice has been cut.
Mm.
So how do we get out of it? We need to begin by asking Holy Spirit to identify the lies and combating it with truth. Because sometimes we don't even know what those lies are. They've been a part of us for so long. And just like Joshua standing there listening to accusation after accusation, which can feel defeating. And sometimes you just surrender to it and say, "Yeah, I am a piece of crap. Yeah, I am nothing." Yeah, that's true.
You know what's crazy about this story is both things were true.
Yeah.
It wasn't even lie and truth.
Right.
It was truth and truth.
Yes.
The enemy was right.
Right.
He was in sin. He was in compromise. Right. But guess what? What the Lord said was right all the more.
Right.
And he has a final say.
Right. And it's also true, though, when we're being beat over the head with our sin and our failures, that we feel like there is no hope. This is it. This is who we are. We are labeled as a failure.
Right.
And I think that's oftentimes where a lot of people begin to just celebrate their sin, because they're like, "I'm never going to change. And I cannot live in this place of defeat anymore. I cannot live with this shame and this guilt anymore. So you know what? I'm just going to embrace it. This is who I am. This is the way I am. Deal with it." And so I think a lot of people oftentimes resort to that measure because it's a weight. The sin is a weight. Those feelings are
in that scripture in Zechariah 3, the only legislation that gave the Lord, you know, the ability to reclothe him, to rebuke Satan, and to clear his mind, the only thing that gave him legal ground to do that was Joshua's willingness to turn from his sin. Because where we're not willing to turn, then the Lord can't come in and say, you know, the Lord rebuke you. Mm-hmm. That's like literally that's the legal thing that has to take place. There has to be a repentant heart and a willingness to turn from it. And then the Lord is able to actually come in and do his cleansing and do his thing. Yeah. And the enemy then can't say anything about it.
Right.
You know, that's the whole reason Jesus came.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise the enemy could just beat us over the head with our sin all the time.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so very important that we have that spirit and that heart like David that says, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I'm willing to turn.
Right.
Like, your face I will seek.
Right. It's like you said, the repentance part is key because we have to be willing to, you know, turn. And God isn't looking for perfection. He's just looking for willingness. He's looking for a willing heart is surrendered, that is working into submission. Because sometimes submission is working into it. You know, it's not like, okay, I submit and that's it. No, sometimes we have to like beat our own selves into submission and then renewing our mind in the truth of what he has spoken, like washing our mind constantly in the word. And I find myself having to do this constantly, you know. It's funny because lately I've been feeling like, you know, when you start out with your prayer and you're just like, dear Lord, and I always feel like God just stops me there.
Because, thank you for this day.
Yeah, dear Lord, thank you for this day. You know, you got your little...
your religious start.
Yeah. You gotta just...
monologue.
But I've been feeling lately that the Lord's like, no, start that over.
Start over.
No, dear Lord. Okay. Dear God. Dear Father. No. Dear Dad.
Wow.
I feel like I can't continue my prayer unless it's like he literally, I feel like, wants me to call him Dad. I feel like I can't press deeper past the
I got title.
Because it's like, and I would, and I honestly, this is where I'm at. I'm like, dear Dad, I don't even know like how to talk to my dad. Cause I've never like really had that kind of conversation where I in vulnerability. And so I just felt like the Lord's like, no, I want you to talk to me. Like I'm your dad. I am your dad. I don't want you to address me any other way than Dad. And I was like, I don't know. So it always makes me pause because I'm like, and I know it's something that he's trying to break off of me by having these conversations. It was like when I was burning some leaves. burning some other things too. But anyway, as I was burning
something, always melts when she burns leaves.
I'm trying to get the ticks out of her yard. But you know, as I was burning leaves, I just was having that conversation with the Lord, and I started like, dear, and I just kind of feel the appeal for him to just for me to talk to him. No matter what, no matter what I'm doing, just like how I would just hop on the phone and just, hey Dad, what's going on? You know, I'm just doing dishes. What's going on? You know, and having those types of conversations. And I've realized I've never really had that like
type of relationship
where I've been able to just dial a number and just say, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. Oh yeah. You know, just, So
I'm going to do that. That's challenges.
Anyway, just something that the Lord's just inviting a lot of us into, because I know he wants us, you know, the invitation's out there.
He delights in us.
Yes.
It says he delights in us.
A son and daughter.
Yes.
To know his heart, be a man, a woman after his own
David
heart.
Said, there's a verse in the Bible. David said he had the audacity to say this. He forgave me because he delighted mm-hmm. in me. Think about the depth of that. Mm-hmm. Think about what that means for you and what that means for me.
Yeah.
He forgives us because he delights in us.
That reminds me of Truett, our five-year-old. I don't even remember what he did. He's got these jumbo eyes. And I just couldn't wait for the punishment part to be over so that I could hug him and kiss him. He gets in trouble. He always hides. He hides. He doesn't want
to. Fight or flight, he's flight.
Yes. He does not. He cannot stand you being upset at him. And so I'm just talking to him about what he did. And he's just kind of hiding. And he's like, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, you know, because we have to have the talk. We have to do the discipline. And then I just can't wait to just hug him and kiss him.
Yeah.
And just reassure him that my love never went away. This is a part of my love. The discipline is part of the love. And I hate disciplining, especially when he gets in those modes where he's like, you know, already right. hiding. But
I love how the kids will just be playing and they just get, our kids get dirty.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that, I love how you always say, like, as a mom, you know, you just love to just get them all sudsed up and, you know, their hair all clean and their face clean. Because they come in like coal miners, honestly, most of the time.
Yeah.
And the water's just black.
Yeah.
You know, but then that gets drained and you're just, you know, these kids, they got their fresh pajamas on.
Yes.
I just love that, you know, that mm-hmm. feeling and how much you delight in that process.
Yes. For you sure. Know,
this is coming. This is a woman who will literally watch ASMR videos on rugs getting cleaned. So just imagine. I threw that out there.
Who'd have thought? Look at her that subscriptions. Ooh, you really throw me out there. What do you got on your subscription list? Make sure your husband, your wife know that you subscribe to this channel. Right.
How to change the alternator on a 98 Dodge Ram. Oh no. That's what you're going to find out mine.
No, I've seen that. But yeah, you know, going back to like repentance and being cleansed and the turning in the heart of the Father to just love on us and to, you know, his heart isn't to, you know, shield us from anything or withhold himself from us, but he wants us to experience him full. Yes. So, you know, asking Holy Spirit to identify the lies, combating it with truth, repentance for believing the lie, and renewing our mind in the truth of what he has spoken. And not just sitting silently and waiting for this season of sieging in our mind to pass. This is not strategy. It is us surrendering to the lies of the enemy. And it is also allowing the enemy to enlarge the takeover of our mind. So we need to ask Holy Spirit for awareness when we are about to surrender a new territory of our mind to counteract with the truth and being in constant communion with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's scriptural for, you know, when God tells us to pray constantly. You know, Romans 8:31, nothing can separate me from your love.
Amen.
Romans 2:4, or do you disregard the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Philippians 4:6,
let's go
through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, these are things that we need to speak over ourselves to counteract, and we need to have the word, even if it's just one scripture that we meditate on. And if we got to put our own hand on our head and say no, when confusion hits us, when we are just feeling bombarded by feelings of failure and anxiety, saying, no, you have given me a sound mind, not a spirit of fear or timidity. You said that you have hope for me and a future. And these are the ways we need to start fighting. The truth is our sword. And our faith in believing in the truth is our shield. Yeah. Just like Ephesians talks about, you know, the armor of God, so that we can stand against the enemy's tactics, against the enemy's strategy. So we need to be prepared and get those supply lines plugged back in, so that when the enemy comes laying a siege on us, on our mind, we are not defenseless and we are not without supplies. And we really need to, more than now than ever, to really dig deep into truth and prayer, because otherwise we will let his words just run rampant in our minds to the point that we believe his voice and we follow it like sheep.
Yeah.
And just like God says, my sheep hear my voice, they know it and they follow it. Well, if we hear the enemy's voice and we mistake it for God's voice, we will follow that voice. And it will follow us to a life of anxiety and fear. So if these are the fruits you are producing, then the enemy has laid siege on your mind, because these are not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. So if we are not bearing fruits of repentance, fruits of the Spirit, then we have aligned ourselves with the words of the enemy who has laid siege on our mind, and we are walking into the plans that he has for us. And so God is trying to call us out of that and awaken his people, make his people aware. My people perish for lack of knowledge. No more. No more being ignorant. It's time for us, for God's people, to rise up, wake up, just like Joshua. Get up, get the turban on your head.
Turn around.
Cleansing you. I'm purifying you. I got a plan and a purpose for you. And it is not for you to be wallowing in discouragement and shame and guilt, because my God, that crushes the human spirit. Yeah. And you are left feeling horrible. And then you emanate that same energy inside of you, the same words that are inside of you, on those around you, because you're frustrated. You feel like a failure. So, you know, one of your kids come around and automatically you're irritable.
Yeah.
You know, you're not exuding the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we are void of strength, then we do not have the joy of the Lord. It is possible.
Yeah. When the enemy comes at us, in a little bit, and we allow him to take that ground in our lives, then we allow him to take a little bit more.
Yeah.
You allow him to take a little bit more. And then it's, how the heck did I get here? And then Amy could look at you and be like, just like you did Joshua, you let me.
Yeah, exactly.
You let me.
Right.
You gave me the keys.
Yes.
You allowed it.
Right.
You got in the passenger seat and let me drive. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? And so, like you just said, stay plugged in. Stay plugged into what the Lord has. The life is in the vine.
Right. And we can speak so well on this, and we know
professional
all about it. Because we're climbing out of it.
Yeah.
We're climbing out of it. And it's something that we were in a season of accusations and slander and gossip and all the things. And you know what? It was like,
we were letting the enemy take ground.
Exactly.
We were like, you know, and then we're, hey, how did you get here? Lord, I thought you're faithful and you love us. And the enemy just goes, yeah, you let me.
Exactly.
You opened the front door.
Yeah.
You know?
True. So we're going to walk with everybody through this. So we're just, if this
like
is
a practical,
practical way to wait, let's just do it now. So you guys follow along if this is something you're open to, and let's ask Holy Spirit to reveal those things. Father, I thank you for all my listeners out there, Lord. I thank you for this time that we have had to magnify and exalt you, to expose the schemes and the lies of the enemy, Father, that have kept us bound and your people bound for so long, Father, that have kept them in a place of uncertainty and fear and doubt, Lord, and timidity. But Father, today you are calling them out. Amen. You are saying no more. Enough Amen. Is enough. My people will come to the wilderness to worship me, just like how you said about the Israelites. Let my people go so that they can come Amen. And worship me. So Father, I hear that from your voice right now. You are calling your people. You Amen. Are saying right now, you are commanding the listeners and everybody, in even everyone in their home, Lord, it is time to let his people Yes. go so that you can worship him and you can fulfill what he has called you to do and to be. It's not about doing, Amen. It's about being. And so right now I'm going to invite you just to ask the Holy Spirit along with me. Holy Spirit, reveal to me lies that I am believing. Reveal lies that have hindered me, that have beat me down, that have kept me in a state of submission. Even lies that have caused me to embrace it. And whatever the Lord begins to show to you, just be patient. Maybe he'll give you a word or a picture or a feeling, a memory. Just go into that and go deeper into that. Father, we just ask for revelation. Revelation on the root so that these lies can be uprooted, so that the seeds of truth can go down deep, that this will not be a reoccurring lie that comes up every season to choke out the new seeds. But Father, I pray that these weeds come out in yeah. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Grab it by the yes. root in Jesus' name. Lies that say, I am not forgiven. I have done too much. I'm not good enough. Let those lies be uprooted. Show them. Just ask Holy Spirit, show me the origin of these lies. Why did I believe it? Maybe it was something somebody said to you. Maybe it was even from a movie you watched or a song you listened to and you embraced it. And just ask, just repent of it. Father, forgive me for believing these lies. Forgive me for holding on to it. Now we're going to ask, Father, for the truth. Show me the truth to counteract this lie. Plant the seeds of truth in my heart. Yeah. And just take a moment and let him speak truth to you.
Seek his face.
Yeah. Whatever the truth is to counteract the lie, whether it's, you know, you're not loved. Nobody's ever loved you. You're never good enough. And the enemy will show you to try to reaffirm that lie. People that have rejected you throughout your life. Mm. He will show you family members that have rejected you. Nobody loves you. Look at all these people. If you were lovable, how come all these people have rejected you? There's something wrong with you. And you've grown to feel like you are not worthy of love. And so you've become hardened. And you're even at a place where you don't even know how to receive love because you've been so numb and so hardened in an effort to survive. And God wants to break those walls down right now. He wants to break down those walls. And you... And it may have been a struggle for so long for you to even know how to cry. But he wants you to, those tears are just going to wash away years of lies and residue. So let those tears flow. And Father, we ask for your truth to abound that no, you are the brand that is plucked from the fire. You are chosen. You are valuable. You have a plan and a purpose. I thought of you before I created the world, that you were going to come forth in this time, in this season, in this generation. You have a unique DNA and set of fingerprints that nobody else has had, because you are unique.
Amen.
And so, Father, just receive whatever that truth is. Just let it get so deep down inside of you. And I even invite you to write it down, post it, put it in on your mirror, put it, you know, if it's a song the Lord is giving you, listen to that song, write those verses down. Like, you need to meditate on what the Lord is speaking to you, because even if you don't feel immense breakthrough now, every time you meditate on that, every time you speak that truth out in place of that lie, it's coming off. It's like an onion. Sometimes the layers just need to keep going. And this, sometimes we get so frustrated because we're not experiencing breakthrough right away. But you know what? God is trying to teach you how to fight. Yeah. He's trying to teach you how to fight. And so many times we don't want to fight. We want the easy way. We want God to do the work for us. And God's like, I've already done the work. I've given you the keys. I've given you the promise. You have to know how to fight.
Yeah.
You have, my child needs to learn how to fight. This is our inheritance. And so we can't get discouraged where we're not experiencing immediate breakthrough. If we're, you know, stuck in addictions or, you know, bad habits or, you know, bad broken mindsets, and we get discouraged and we're like, oh, see, this didn't work because I still feel this way. I still feel anxiety, still feel, but now you recognize it. So now you have to keep practicing, keep fighting. This is you fighting.
It's funny,
build that muscle.
I was thinking about that movie Hacksaw Ridge while you were praying.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're just like, day after day, climbing that like rope ladder, getting up there and just going at it, you know what I mean? And then failing and then going back and going. He's trying to teach us this like spiritual endurance.
Yeah. Perseverance.
That perseverance.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not, he's about bringing forth a great storyline in your life, not just like pacifying you.
Yeah.
To feel like you've accomplished something. But no, he's like, let's do this together.
Yeah.
You know, follow me.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to fight our way out of it so we don't go back to it.
Wow.
And if we are so like, oh, that was easy, we're not going to think twice about going back to that
place. It's like when someone buys you something,
Yeah. Like, the value of it isn't as great. And so sometimes God's like, you're going to have to war through this because once you come out of it, I don't ever want you going back there. I want the thought of thinking, you know, receiving that lie or going back to that addiction to make you so sick to your stomach because it took you so much to get out of it that I don't want you to return back to it. Mm-hmm. So God knows what he's doing. He knows why. It's a process. And Lord knows, I hate processes. I'm like, can we just be done with this already? Can we just get to the next season?
But he's a fanatic about that process.
But yeah, but he's like, no, I am.
This is the way.
I'm raising a warrior. And that's why I love so much the story of the Spartans.
Yeah.
You know, because they're, for them to be the elite warriors that they were, they had to go through such rigorous training and be put through such horrendous, you know,
preparation. Like, I mean, just like,
like, you know, being thrown out with no clothes out in
as
the
an 8 year old or whatever.
Like, they were hardcore. Right. But this is what God wants to raise up in his people. He wants his people to be resilient, his sons and his daughters. It's his sons and his daughters. We are to mirror his heart. And he is a man of battle. He is a strategic warrior. So I just pray you guys be blessed in that today. Walk in that freedom. And for many of you, hey, maybe it just falls off of you.
Dude, land and that in the comments.
And you know what? I know for me, yes, share your story.
Please. I want to hear about that.
Let's start a community of encouragement, for sure. But I know for me, you know, there were some things that I just felt lighter. I just felt like, I can breathe. Like, you know, you don't realize you're carrying a weight until you get that breath. You're like, wow, I haven't breathed like this before, you know? And so
new lungs.
So, you know, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. You are a warrior. You are mighty.
We'll be praying
God.
For you too.
Yes, we pray for our listeners. Everything that we share is something that I feel like God, it is on his heart. This is the process of rebuilding ruins. This is what this is all about. We are rebuilding our mindset. So remember to not let the enemy run roughshod on your mind. Don't let him take up any more territory in your mind. Reconnect those supply lines of truth, prayer, fellowship, get in his word, get surrounded by people, find a good community of people that are like-minded and are going to the same place spiritually. Be blessed and continue to
rebuild your ruins.
Ruins. Ooh. Y'all see that? She did not get cut up like that eating donuts. And Sonic ice cream. Love you guys.
Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.